To The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and the stunningly gorgeous Jules Serkin. We've got loads and loads of tweets. We've got another guest to talk to. Terry's still with us. Tracy Ferguson, you may have read this, but I'm going to read it anyway. Really interesting interview with Terry Thorpe about the efforts being made to support local businesses in and around Tenterton. Fantastic to hear you talk about some of the local area history too. So thank you for that, Tracy. That's very kind of you. Local food and drinks. Jules Serkin, deliberately first in the tweet. And Vanilla Web, they're just winding me up now, aren't they? Will you ever shout out again for me? Yeah, of course I will, Angus. Saying all right things today on the Business Bunker Show. With local businesses, cheeses, wine, beers and Christmas hampers. Exactly what Food and Drink Tours is all about and into 2021. Absolutely.
Well, that's made me very peckish.
Yeah.
I will say that when I took my mum, I might have said this last week, but when I took my mum to Boots Opticians to get her eyes tested last week, Boots was operating as normal because it's a pharmacy, but you could go in and you could buy mascara, blusher, face creams, perfume, and also M&S. You know, I bought a sports bra and it was quite normal. So I feel
sports
a bit...
Sports bra?
Yeah, sports bra.
What do you wear a sports bra for?
Because you must know about the bralette, Paul Andrews. The bralette is all the rage. Working from home, people don't want to wear the underwired, you know, hello boys ones. Working from home, it's all about casual attire, feeling comfortable.
Do you have to wear one at all?
Yes, I'm a 36D, so yes.
So you trip over it otherwise?
Okay, all right, I understand. And I've breastfed three brats.
I forgot you were into your 60s, yeah.
How sweet of you.
Yeah.
But Terry, don't you feel that the small independent shops really, who've been forced to close, and we had somebody on our show a couple of weeks ago, Shaw Whitstable, who'd opened 3 weeks before the lockdown a clothes shop, and he's selling beautiful, you know, accessories and things, handbags, gloves, blah-de-blah, especially for Christmas, of course. But meanwhile, M&S, I can go into M&S and buy anything I want. It's completely open because it's essential
it's
for
bonkers.
The food.
If you're trying to dissect the government's approach to what's going on, it's just bonkers.
But if they cover up stuff like they did in Wales, then that's awful, isn't it?
There's no logic in any of it.
No.
You know, apparently on talk radio or one of the radio stations, Michael Gove was interviewed this morning. And the interview, I think it was Julia Hartley Brewer, was saying to him, is a Scotch egg a substantial meal? And he went, no. And then an hour later on another show, he said exactly the opposite. Well, yeah, it is.
Well, actually, a Scotch egg is protein, and then you've got the sausage meat round, so it is kind of...
Yeah, but the point...
But how many do you have to eat?
No, the point that everybody's missing is what makes a meal... COVID resistant.
Exactly. Well, it gets you back to having the wet mouth, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Perhaps.
Nonsense. But anyway, I've got some more tweets. Tracy Ann Barker said, really interesting. I've never been to Tenterton before. Listening to Terry, I'm going to go. There you go. Hey, come and visit, Tracy Ann. You'd love it. It's a lovely town. It is certainly well worth a visit.
And I've just chipped in there that I'll come as well. It's 2021. Yeah, that's great. So, yes, again, remember, it's Small Business Saturday, but your high street is not just for a Saturday.
Oh, look, they're all agreeing to meet up for coffee in Tenterton now as well. That's good, isn't it?
Well, a little chapel down the road, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And then we can crash at your place you know, then we don't have to drive home.
Yeah, exactly.
On the bird table.
Yeah, on the bird table with the squirrels, my Mexican squirrels.
Yeah, he has a Mexican fat squirrel.
Yeah.
Tracy has said about the... You've read that, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. Talking about Martin's earlier, Martin White came and stayed. I wouldn't let him stay at my house, obviously.
He stayed at the
White House, which is just up the road from me,
Did he not stay at the Little Silver?
No. Okay. He stayed at the White House, which is a bed and breakfast just up the road from me, and he was not amused with that. But, of course, it's now gone, and it's been turned into a new home.
Why wasn't he amused with it? It wasn't good.
Do you really want to know?
Yeah.
Well, you know Martin, don't you?
Yeah.
Him and Deb. So he said the trouble was they couldn't both get in the bed at the same time.
What, it was a tiny bed?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He got in bed and Deb's fell out. So Deb got in bed and he fell out.
Oh, really? Really?
And not only was it tiny, it was on a slope.
Oh, no.
And then in the morning, there was a bloke in front of them, a Polish guy, that was trying to pay by credit card. And the woman that owned it went, oh, you know, I want cash now.
Oh.
You'll have to go to the bank and get cash. And he went, oh, I'm Polish. Where am I going to get cash from?
So now we know why it's closed.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah,
and But Martin does like a slope off, doesn't he?
He does.
Generally.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of all of that. I think what we'll do is, well, I need to mention this, the second part of the show, our sponsor. We're pleased to be sponsored by Spinnerjet, the facilities management company. They provide commercial cleaning, grounds maintenance, jet washing, and much, much more. If you want to find out about all the services that Spinnerjet provide, you can email them at info@spinnerjet.co.uk.
Yeah, he doesn't like a green smoothie, but he does smooth out your drive and make it look lovely.
Yeah.
He really didn't like my green smoothie at all.
I don't blame him. They're horrible things.
He rebuffed me.
I don't blame him.
Mine are lovely. Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout out about them, and you can enter the Maidstone Awards, the Business Awards. Mm. So it's free PR, more or less, for you. Use the hashtag MStoneAwards2020 or AshfordAwards2020. It's a free entry, www.businessawardskent.co.uk.
Fantastic. Do you know what? I caught up with Lucy Adams, who's the Training and Development Manager at West Kent Mine, and we had a really interesting conversation about mental health and wellbeing in the workplace. Shall we hear what Lucy had to say?
Yeah, sounds really, really interesting.
Now, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome, I think, for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Lucy Adams of West Kent Mine. Lucy, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on the show. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you. Why don't you kick off by telling the listeners a little bit about Lucy, and then we'll talk a little bit about your organisation.
Brilliant. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for inviting me on. It's good to be here. So, yeah, I've been, so I'm Lucy Adams. I'm the Training and Development Manager at West Kent Mine. I've been at Mine for about 6 years, predominantly doing work around early intervention, with a focus on how do we equip people to stay well. That's kind of the bottom line, really. My background is I worked in the media for about sort of 15 to 20 years. Wow. And one of the reasons that I'm sort of do what I do is because I started to experience stress and anxiety. And I think it's very common, never more so than now.
Yep.
And so I didn't really realize that I was experiencing it. My mental health was deteriorating. I wasn't feeling great. I think I was probably at risk of burnout.
Yeah.
And I kind of had to make that decision of, do I carry on here and become unwell, or do I make a change? And I've always been passionate about mental health. My mum battled with clinical depression for a long time, so it's always been quite close to my heart. So I made the shift.
Yeah.
And as I say, I've been with Mind for 6 years now.
Right. Okay. Just while you're saying that, I kind of want to get your thoughts on this, because way back when, many years ago, when people talked about mental health, they saw it as some kind of disease that afflicted someone. Yeah. Whereas I think what's become more apparent, and I'll about your greater knowledge on this than me, but what's become apparent to me is that we're all on a continuum somewhere, and it's quite easy to tip over that threshold and become disabled by mental health issues just because of the circumstances we're in. Is that a fair description?
Yeah, it's a really fair description. I mean, fundamentally, we all have mental health, same way we all have physical health.
Yeah.
And things happen in our life that impact our health, you know, physical or mental health.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's right to describe it as a continuum. We're moving around all the time. You know, if I said to you, how are you feeling today? It would be very different to maybe how you were feeling yesterday, or
sure,
very different again to how you might have been feeling in March before things changed so dramatically for all of us.
Yeah.
So it's fluid, you know, but there's entrenched stigma still. I mean, things are so much better than they've ever been. But, you know, I think, sometimes when we were doing training sessions, we'd say to people and ask them about mental health, they're thinking about mental illness. You know, if you ask to describe it, you might say, well, it's depression or it's bipolar disorder. But actually, you know, those are illnesses, and that's when our mental health has got worse or deteriorated. So it's fluid. It's changing all the time. And there are so many things that happen in our lives that impact our well-being.
Yeah.
What we need to do is be able to sort of recognize when our mental health starts to deteriorate. That's the key, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just go back. Sorry, because I kind of threw that in there. Let's just go back and cover Mind as an organisation. Tell us a little bit about Mind as an organisation and how it's set up and what its aims are.
So, well, I work for West Kent Mind, which is one of the sort of many, I think it's about 123 local mines.
Yeah.
So Mind is a national organisation, really, that's sort of working hard to and campaigning to improve the support and access to support for people who are experiencing mental health problems. So it's sort of becoming more of a lobbying and campaigning organisation. And the local mines, you know, around the country are all affiliated to National Mines. So we all deliver very similar types of services, but we're sort of independent charities. So we have our own board of trustees.
Cool.
And the key thing is that we don't get any funding. All the local mines are sort of independent, so we don't get any funding from National Mines. But
right.
So we're sort of self-funding. But, you know, what we're trying to do is ensure that people who need our help, who are having challenges with their mental health, have somewhere to go. And, you know, in West Kent, we have two wellbeing centres, one in Sevenoaks and one in Tunbridge. And we try and offer, as I say, a diverse range of support, counselling, affordable counselling, community support groups, you know, a solace cafe. So lots of different services.
Okay, cool. And I particularly like that about the way that the organisation is structured, that it's structured from a bottom-up point of view. So many organisations of all kinds are structured from a top-down point of view. And for me, you just lose that sense of humanness in a top-down organisation. Whereas from a local bottom-up organisation focusing on the people in your area, I think you're much closer to people and you're much closer to the humanity of the situation without being overdramatic. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, we work really very much with and for our community. So therefore, what we try and do very much is respond, work out what the need is within our community and be able to respond to it accordingly. And that's really important, that also people who support us as an organisation are also able to get help from us.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I think that's important.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm a trustee of the Kenwood Trust, which is a home for people with drink and drug addictions and mental health issues as well, obviously. And one of the things that we've seen over the last 8 or 9 months is a massive increase in people afflicted with those kind of issues. So I kind of wanted to talk to you about how you in West Kent Mind are seeing the landscape whilst we're in this strange situation that we're all in of a pandemic, of a lockdown, of a crashing of the economy, of large-scale unemployment, and all the other miseries that are going on in the world at the moment. So from your point of view as a local charity there, how have you seen things as they've unfolded from kind of March onwards?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Everyone's sort of referring to the impact on mental health being the hidden pandemic, you know, and it's hard at the moment to quantify exactly that impact, you know, but we know it's profound. We know it's huge. And I think the longer it goes on, you know, the more challenging it's becoming for us.
Yeah.
I mean, initially when we first went into lockdown, we were surprised because actually our referrals seemed to decrease. And I think that was partly to do with people being so overwhelmed with the enormity of what was happening. It's so unprecedented. It's bigger than all of us. It almost took over from any other concerns that we might have, because actually we all had to go into this almost a fight or flight, right? How do we cope, you know, adapting, adjusting, and focusing on that. And I think we're now starting to see more people reaching out for help. But I think actually we need to really encourage people even more so than ever to get that help. I think people are just trying to manage and cope, and, you know, our services and our support, unfortunately, we had to, you know, suspend all our face-to-face support. And for some people, that's what they prefer. That's how they prefer to get their support. You know, but we are offering it on the phone and via Zoom. Some people don't have access to that. That's an issue. But I think the key messages here is that, you know, actually we know that more and more people are and will need support. And, you know, that don't be afraid to reach out for it. There is so much support out there. you know, don't be afraid to just pick up the phone and say, I'm struggling, I'm not sure where to turn, how can you help? I mean, we actively encourage people to contact us as their local mental health charity and ask that question and ask for support. It might not be that we are the people to support them, but we'll certainly signpost them in the right way.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? And you may not even have the answers to these, and I fully appreciate that, because I'm kind of going with just thoughts as they randomly occur to me. Are people aware that they're struggling mentally when they are struggling mentally, if you see what I mean? And two, is there still a stigma about raising that with somebody else?
Questions. I'll take the first one first, if that's all right, Paul. Are people aware? Sometimes not. Sometimes actually the hardest person to acknowledge or accept that you're having a difficult time is you.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's really important that our networks get good at sort of noticing changes in behaviour. Sometimes we've reached capacity, you know, and we're overwhelmed, and it's almost that we've got to the point that we're very unwell before we realise we're unwell.
Yes.
And I think what's essential is that we start to recognise when we first start to feel unwell, you know, and that might be sort of a low mood for a regular period of time or for longer days. It might be those feelings of sort of stress or anxiety that stay with us. But actually, if we can recognize them early, you know, we can put measures in place. We can implement some coping strategies that keep us well, stop us from becoming unwell. So, I mean, and I think, you know, often the people around us, we might notice that someone's not doing as well as they normally do. And there's the stigma that you talk about around, well, I'm not sure if I should approach this because what if I say the wrong thing? What if I don't have the tools to fix it? What if this person gets upset or angry with me? And therefore what happens is people tend not to ask the question. But actually, you know, just asking someone if they're okay or if they want to have a chat and giving them a space to do it and listening really well. It sounds like such a simple message, but it's a message that we deliver in all of our training to all of our organisations, the community, is have the confidence to have a conversation, have the confidence to talk about it, and you know, the difference can make for someone who's starting to struggle with their mental health is huge. Second part of your question I've already forgotten.
It's whether there's, and funnily enough, I was just going to interrupt you with a kind of a supplementary to that as well, so we can answer both in one go. What I was saying is there a stigma still around people thinking, do you know what, I don't want to admit, you know, I feel unwell in myself, but, you know, I'm a big 6'2" bloke and, you know, I'll get over this if I just have a, you know, couple of beers or something. Is there a stigma still about admitting that we may have a problem? Or is it, well, let me you answer that first and then.
Yes, unfortunately, I think there is. I think that things have certainly, in my sort of time working in the field of mental health, have improved massively. And, you know, it's being talked about. It's talked about in the media. It's, you know, it's starting to be on people's agenda. But I think there's still that fear. And I think particularly in the workplace, where there's a reluctance to say, actually, I'm not coping very well. For fear of being judged, for fear of being deemed weak, or for fear of actually, it means that I'm not able to do my job, you know, which isn't necessarily the case. And I think, you know, something to say to all the listeners at the moment is that it's okay to be finding things tough right now. You know, we are doing the best we can, but it's incredibly challenging times. But I think where we've got to get to with the workplace is that it becomes normal to talk about mental health in the same way that it's normal to talk about physical health. You're at work, you have a physical health problem, like you have asthma or you have a migraine, you go to your boss and you say, I'm having a really tough day, I've got a migraine. And you would hope that your boss would say, well, I'm sorry to hear that. What do you need? How can I help you? And if you experience challenges with an anxiety disorder, where we need to get to is that you can approach your boss and say, I'm having a bad day with my anxiety disorder. And your boss will say, well, I'm sorry to hear that. What do you need? How can I help you? I think we have to remember that these are illnesses, you know, not choices. And we're striving for parity of esteem, where we treat mental health with the same respect, we value the importance of looking after it in the same way that we do our physical health. And once we get to that point, We normalise it and we talk about it and the culture changes. And that's the only way we tackle that stigma that, as you say, is sadly is still there. It's still stopping people. It's so damaging, stigma. It's stopping people talking about it, yeah, which we know helps. And more importantly than that, it's stopping people getting the help they need.
Yeah,
so, absolutely. Yeah, we've got to do some work on that.
Can I kind of, and I take on board everything you just said there, and absolutely right. And can I just shift that one step over as well? When you were talking about mental health issues in the workplace, you've got workers and their colleagues. But of course, me as the owner of a business or the manager of a business, I've got responsibility to the people that work for me. And I'm not a qualified mental health practitioner or mentor or anything. So from a workplace point of view, as a manager or a business owner who suspects that they have colleagues or staff members that are suffering, how do we go about handling that? Is that an issue that raises its head very often, or is it something that, you know, people just kind of walk away from and go, look, you know, it's nothing to do with me, why don't you just go off sick or something?
Well, I think that the challenges are that, you know, if we go back to when we were at school, it was quite a long time ago for me, but, you know, we didn't learn about mental health. You know, yeah, no one sort of sat us down and said, well, this is what mental health is. This is what it looks and feels like. And this is what happens when it goes wrong. And this is what we do. And this is how we talk about it. We haven't been educated to understand necessarily what it feels like for someone who experiences episodes of depression, how much it impacts their life, yeah, what support they need. And so there's the fear around having those conversations. But I think, certainly when we're supporting our colleagues, or if we're line managers, we're supporting our teams, you know, it's essential that we enable them to talk about how they're feeling, you know, yeah, and it's not about being a medical professional or yeah, as you say, you know, even people that go through our mental health first aid training courses, they're not coming away with the ability to diagnose someone,
sure,
or fix it, but they are learning, you know, the best way to talk to someone about, yeah, how they're feeling and what support they might need.
I think that's absolutely critical, Lucy. You're actually, I'm going to tell you why I think that in a moment, because I actually went through this many years ago. It's knowing what to do under those circumstances. And you're absolutely right. You know, there's no way that, you know, we're going to dive in and sort someone's problems out, because that's not what we're qualified to do. And we shouldn't even attempt to do that. But as a manager, you need some resources to be able to handle the situation you face. And I know that from personal experience. Over 25 years ago now, I had a member of staff that had a psychotic episode at work. And it scared the life out of me and everybody else. And, you know, I'm standing there, and I like to think I'm a kind of empathetic kind of person, but I'm going, I don't know I have no idea what to do about this. What the hell do you do? And I found that really difficult, knowing what to do for the best, basically.
Yeah.
So I think it's important, if we can, to have some resources or some, you know, something that says, look, if you suspect that someone's suffering in this way, this is kind of what you need to think about doing.
It's how do we respond, you know, and, yeah, it's giving you the tools to be able to respond better. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, if someone's in front of you in a crisis, whether it's their physical health or their mental health,
yeah,
you know, the best advice is to be empathic and caring and get them the professional help that they need.
Yeah.
But what the mental health first aid training courses do is exactly that. They go through some of the different, well, they go, yeah, through all of the mental health sort of diagnosis, psychosis as well, and, you know, give you a greater understanding of what it feels like for that person that's experiencing it and what's the best way to respond to them. Because responding, yeah, to someone who's having an episode of psychosis would be different to responding to someone who's having an episode of depression. Yeah. And it's just learning some of those techniques. And also, I think the key thing when you're supporting someone really is about knowing what resources are out there for them to help themselves. Mm. You know, rather than fix it, it's like, how can I help you to help yourself by all of the different websites and apps and all of those things that can help people when they're struggling with anxiety or, you know, whatever's going on for them. There is support there. So, you know, some of the confidence in supporting someone comes with knowing that there's other support to pass them on to.
Yeah, exactly. We've only got a couple of minutes left, Lucy. It's fascinating talking to you. Can you just go over some of the resources that are available through West Kent Mind for the different things that we're doing?
Yeah, so, I sort of work in training development, and I'm passionate that, organisations can benefit for their own self-care and their staff members and their families from training around the topic of mental health. So we run an awful lot of different training courses, understanding depression, mental health first aid training courses. If any of your listeners are interested, they can contact us at training@westkentmind.org.uk. So there's the training element, which is around educating and early intervention. And obviously, as at West Kent Mind, we have, as I said at the beginning, we've got counselling, community support. We have a Solace Cafe that's open on a Thursday evening and a Saturday evening for people who are potentially at risk of hitting that crisis point, and they get the support that they need. So a whole range of support. So if anyone's having a difficult time or needs some support, I urge them to visit our website, westkentmind.org.uk, or to contact us. You know, the key message is that you don't need to be facing this on your own. There is support out there.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to reach out for it.
Cool. No, absolutely. And I think that's a good message to leave on. Just give us one more shout out for the website so that people know where to go when they need to get your help.
Yeah, so it's www.westkentmind.org.uk. And if you want to contact us, it's hello@westkentmind.org.uk. Please do get in touch if you need some support or you're concerned about someone.
Fantastic. Lucy Adams, West Kent Mind, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show and helping us to help other people. Thank you so much for all you do, and thank you for being on the show, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks so much, Paul.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was Lucy Adams of West Kent Mind. A really, really important topic, especially at the moment. I mean, it's always been an important topic, but especially at the moment, with so many people suffering stress and mental health
issues. I think the lack of freedom, you know, knowing, like you'll say things, even myself, I'll say, you know, we could pop over to, oh, no, we can't.
No, we can't.
You know, we can go and see, oh, no, we can't. It's just that we're not used to.
Yeah, and there's so many people that are struggling, you know, that have either lost or are looking at losing their jobs. Yeah, I mean, Debenhams shut yesterday, 12,000 jobs gone.
Exactly.
Arcadia shut, Topshop's gone.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, Canterbury High Street is looking dire, I have to say, when I went there last. You know, why would you pay £6 for parking even before? But now I've lost my lovely monsoon. And all the shops I like.
Somebody told me, I don't know, I can't say for sure that this is true, but somebody told me, and whatever, you know, the Debenhams stores in the High Street.
Mm.
About 5 or 6 years ago, there was talk of it going up for sale, and it was on the market for 60 million quid. I mean, it's a big place, yeah. Mm,
it is big.
Yeah.
Four stories, isn't it?
Yeah. Apparently, it's on the market for 4 million now.
4 million. I have to say about Debenhams, though, 4 million, that's amazing.
I have no idea if it's true or
but
not.
I have to say that I found, as a customer, Debenhams was very fuddy-duddy, and they did a revamp, and the toilets and that were all a bit, you know, it was a bit 70s.
Yeah, yeah, no, but their competition, I'm sorry about this, Nick, I'm sorry, I'll go, you know my landlords, Nick and Nason's.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nason's, which are opposite, you know, if you think Debenhams were fuddy-duddy. Nason's were the last supermarket in the world that still had an oversupply of string-back driving gloves. Yeah, that's
just
for your Auntie Mabel.
No, it's just anything that you remember from the 1950s, you could still buy in Nathan's, but anything past 1965, you couldn't.
I got a nice frying pan in there, actually. Did you? I do believe. Yeah. And I think I got a really nice suitcase in there when they were closing down. Right. But I do think that Debenhams needed to shake up. But Phoenix has to be careful, because when I go in there now, there's no one to ask, there's no one there, and actually the fashions don't grab me. I don't buy anything.
Unfortunately, the whole concept, it's like anything, it's evolutionary, isn't it? The whole concept of a department store has been undone by the internet more than anything, yeah? You know, at least with local stores and local shops, you can buy individual things, and they can tailor them to. But the whole concept of a department store, which is a building with lots of different things in it,
and they're all brands I can buy online.
Well, that's my entire point: is that you can find a bigger department store at Amazon or eBay or Etsy or any of the other big online retailers.
So maybe what someone like Phoenix wants to do. God, I worked for Phoenix in where was it in central London? I was a franchise person. Years ago, but I think Mayfair or somewhere. But no, it was what's it called? Anyway, I worked there in my youth. But I think they need to perhaps bring in some individual storeholders in there, rather than, as you say, you can just go in and buy Clinique or Chanel anywhere.
Yep.
Individual.
It's certainly interesting times, that's for sure. Charity Buddy has said, some of my family and friends have struggled with anxiety and depression during lockdown, and I've pointed them at West Kent Mind and other charities, and also said, welcome to my world. You're absolutely right, Martin. You know, one of the interesting things, talking to Lucy there as a business owner, was, you know, as an owner or a manager, it can be quite difficult knowing what to do for the best when you see your colleagues and staff suffering, you know, because we're not trained psychologists or counsellors or anything. And that's why it's interesting, the range of courses and things that West Kent Mind provide that help you come to terms with that and deal with that. And it's something that's going to be even more prevalent than it was.
Well, I think
it was already prevalent.
In lockdown, you're working, if you're working on your own, working from home or not working, you're eating more, you're drinking more. You've got to be very, very careful. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Robert Richardson of the Cave Hotel. He's the GM there, the general manager. And he says that they're currently closed. This is a hotel as well, awaiting a reopening date. So they still don't even know. But their golf and their takeaway service is continuing.
Yeah.
So you can play golf. You can have a takeaway. But you can't have a business meeting or a coffee in a hotel.
Or use the bar. Yeah.
Madness.
As we've determined, it's bonkers.
Yeah.
Right.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
On behalf of members of the FSB, on Tuesday the 24th of November, we wrote to all MPs asking them to encourage the Secretary of State, Matt Hancock, to take a localised approach when considering which tier Kent should be placed in. Despite many MPs already agreeing to this approach, Greg Clark, Damian Collins, Damian Green, Tracy Crouch, Natalie Elphick, Helen Grant and Tom Tugendhat, this was not the stance that the government took. As you now know, the whole of Kent and Medway will be in Tier 3 as of the 2nd of December. That's tomorrow, manana. This will have a devastating impact on bars, pubs and restaurants, as well as firms in entertainment, hotels and bed and breakfasts. Additionally, this week we contributed to Swale Borough Council's emergency meeting on Monday, where we asked for enhanced testing in the most affected areas, Swale, Medway and Thanet. We are pleased to see that the Kent-based Track and Trace will supplement the NHS system from Friday the 27th of November onwards. Whilst we continue to do all we can to support small businesses, please make the most of the financial support and business advice available from your local authority. Each council has funds to award local restriction support grants, as well as discretionary grants to firms severely impacted by COVID-19. Should you apply and have your application declined, we are here to support your appeal. So if you're a member of the FSB, they will help you appeal. If you're not a member of the FSB, join quickly and help appeal. Our website is regularly updated with all the guidance and advice. May I take this opportunity to wish you, your business and your family all the best during this difficult period. And that's from David Millam, who's the South East Regional Chair of the Federation of Small Businesses.
The FSB are one of the main sponsors for the Kent and Medway Business Summit, and that will return for its fourth year on the 15th of January with a clear focus on business resilience, renewal and strategy for a return to growth. Hosted annually at the University of Kent by the Kent Business School and its partners, the Federation of Small Business, the Institute of Directors and located in Kent, the Kent and Medway Business Summit brings together some 400 businesses and policymakers to debate key themes. Expert keynote speakers will cover topics on the economy and the latest developments in Brexit. Workshops will deliver insights into areas including productivity, infrastructure, placemaking and skills, and offer the opportunity for businesses to have their say on developing strategy. In 2021, the summit will be hosted virtually using the exciting platform Remo, which offers unparalleled opportunities for networking and collaboration. If you want to find out more or to book your place on it on the 15th of January, if you go to kenthospitality.kent.ac.uk/register. That's kenthospitality.kent.ac.uk/register, or possibly the easier address, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Kent Summit. kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Kent Summit. Do check it out. The FSB London and South East Economic Summit is taking place on Monday the 7th of December, 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. The summit will consider how can the local professional community help SMEs. I'm going to give you a link for all of these at the end of these, so they're all the same link. Tomorrow, manana, Wednesday the 2nd of December, there's Growing into Export Markets, an FSB South East event. And then also on the 10th of December, wait for this, you'll like this, Jules.
Ooh.
It's the Big Kent Christmas Jumper.
Ooh.
Zoom in.
Ooh.
Yeah. 10th of December, 10 to 11am. Decorate your screens, wear a Christmas jumper, network.
I have to say, I don't own a Christmas jumper.
Nor do I. Yeah. We'll have to put that right.
Yeah, but I can nick one. I can. Yeah. My son's got one.
So all of those events and every up-and-coming event can be found on the Kent Business Radio website. And the way to do that is to go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. Check it out.
Did you know it's an exciting new initiative by the ZC Social Media? You can find them on at ZC Social Media. There's the Growth Academy membership site, and it's led by the international social media trainer and consultant, the lovely Zoe Cairns, often a guest on the Business Bunker Show, and her team. I think Gareth does lots of work there. It's a training community for small businesses, entrepreneurs and social media managers. It's a membership site which is all about social media and digital. The academy is full of in-depth training, live Q&A calls, planning sessions and much more to help you plan, create and grow your social media and get results. Go to zcsocialmediaacademy.com.
Fantastic. I'm trying to sort out what I've got here. Tracy Ferguson has been on. She said it's great that the Business Bunker is highlighting the importance of supporting mental health as well as physical health. Insightful interview with Lucy. The MHFA course is fantastic, and the more informed we are, the easier it is to initiate a conversation which could help someone to get support. Absolutely. It's one of the hardest things, isn't it? If you're a manager inexperienced in handling these things and you think a member of your staff is struggling, how do you go about even raising the subject? It's really difficult. So do get yourself some training. As Tracy said, the MHFA training course is a great place to start, and it gives you some resources to help you.
Protect yourself from scams. You need to stay vigilant about scams, which may mimic government messages as a way of appearing authentic. You can search scams on gov.uk website for information on how to recognise genuine HMRC contact. You can also forward suspicious emails claiming to be from the HMRC to phishing at hmrc.gov.uk. And texts to 60599. You can access the National Cyber Security Centre's new guide on how to stay secure online and protect yourself and your business against cybercrime by searching Cyber Aware on gov.uk website.
Thank you for that. I've got a frog in my throat.
Mon français.
Oh, don't start.
Have some water.
Yeah. Talking of HMRC, I've got an email from them, which I think you'll find is interesting. They say the UK transition period ends in 37 days. If your business trades with other countries from Europe, they mean the EU there, of course, or you represent a business who does, from the 1st of January, you'll need to be prepared for these changes. We understand these are challenging times, but it's important to make sure that your business is ready for these new rules. To help you prepare for these changes and give you the latest information, we're inviting you to join our live webinar. And the webinar is entitled Completing Your Customs Import Declarations. During the webinar, we'll provide a run-through of the key new processes, import declarations, simplified declarations, supplementary declarations, preparing to make them, making import declarations without authorization, and delayed import declarations. You can also ask questions using the on-screen text box. To take part and make sure you're prepared for the end of the transition period, you need to register at the following website, register.gotowebinar.com/HMRC TransVAT4. They make the links really simple, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I'll put the link on the Kent Business Radio website, but just again, register.gotowebinar.com/HMRC TransVAT4. They also say we make sure our webinars are constantly updated to provide you with the latest government guidance and information as it develops. We have a series of short videos on the HMRC's YouTube channel to introduce you to importing and exporting processes. You will find these helpful to watch before attending the webinar. So to find them, if you go to YouTube and just search HMRC Gov, you will find their videos on importing and exporting.
Lovely.
So do check them out.
And the Music Man project at Kent Medway is on Sunday the 13th of December at 3 p.m. It's an online Christmas concert. It's an hour-long concert. We'll feature some of the new Christmas repertoire as well as old favourites from past concerts, pieces recorded live from Zoom room sessions and others put together especially for the concert. It's all delivered with the usual Music Man project flair and enthusiasm by amazing musicians. It'll be broadcast on YouTube and Facebook as well. So you can find out, the concert's free to watch, they say, but if you're able to make a small donation or contribution, that would be fabulous. You can go to justgiving.com/fundraising/MMP-Kent-Christmas-Concert 2020. Is the link on Kent Business Radio website yet?
It is.
Good. And they say every single donation goes to support the work that we do and make a huge difference to the wonderful performers that we support.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. I'm just trying to catch up and make sure that we've got... Climeworks. Our team member, Lisbeth Debbins, wrote a great piece about eco-friendly gift ideas, which was published on the Business Bunker website. We, of course, recommend the gift of carbon dioxide removal. Fair enough.
Well, how do you do that?
I don't know.
Don't breathe.
Check it out.
Plants.
kentbusinessradio.co.uk/greenxmas.
Oh, that sounds great. I do love an eco thing. Macnades, freshly grown Christmas trees are available to buy at the Faversham and the Elwick Place, which is Ashford store, with 5% of the proceeds going from all the tree sales going to the lovely Pilgrim's Hospice, which is a brilliant hospice. Mm. You can pick up your tree while doing your essential grocery shop and help make a difference. I love Macnades.
Absolutely. Did you see Babu Babra?
Was he there?
No, he's Thursday and Friday, he's at Macnades at Faversham.
Is he cooking?
Yeah, he is, and he keeps taunting me. He keeps sending me pictures of his curries.
So Thursday and Friday?
Yeah, yeah.
I must nip in.
Yeah.
Leeds Castle Concert, they've got a welcome return, and it's, you can find out details at leedscastleconcert.co.uk, and there is a telephone number which, if you get your pen poised, I'll read out. They say, as always, the iconic summer event is unique to Leeds Castle, and they'll welcome back the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra with conductor and artistic director John Rigby, and the firework finale. And all you need is, it's something to look look forward to. So what could be nicer than giving tickets this Christmas for the Leeds Castle concert? They have a special offer of two tickets and a bottle of Prosecco for £115. The phone number is 0845 652 6262 for tickets, and go to leedscastleconcert.co.uk to find out more.
I just had a tweet from Martin Reeves at Charity Buddy.
Is he out of the loft?
Yeah, he's out of the loft. He said, I've just got a letter. He said, I've got a letter from HMRC for my business, collectorbuddy.com. He said, it's great, but it stopped trading in 2017. Yeah, they're not particularly on the ball, are they? I mean, no. it's not as if they you know, need to kind of get organised or anything with anything else going on, is there?
No, exactly. Mm. There's also Romney Resource Centre teaming up with the local organisation and individuals in Hythe and Romney Marsh to help local children this Christmas. And they say coronavirus has thrown up all sorts of challenges for so many families this year, and they want to make a difference. So you can donate a toy, or you can send a gift direct, and you can also donate money to buy a gift by going to www.justgiving.com/Hythe. S for sugar, A, Christmas appeal, and please write toy appeal in the comments.
Cool. It's out. It's ready. She's done it.
Bird's book?
Bird's book.
Ooh.
The lovely bird, Sarah Ann Lucas. Just in time for Christmas, you can now pre-order your copy of Bird's new book, Seeking the Wisdom of the 50-Year-Old Woman. If you go to her website, which is www.beautifulbravebody.com, you can find out what the book's about and you can order your copy. I've read an advanced copy of it. It's really interesting. It's going to be a whole series of books. She interviewed a number of, in this case, 50-year-old ladies, and just asked, you know, a series of questions about this, that and t'other, which she's then put into a book. There will be copies later on of Seeking the Wisdom of the 30-year-old woman, the 40-year-old woman and the 60-year-old woman. And I do think I persuaded her to do the real wisdom of a 66-year-old bloke. That'll be me then. And I've got a lot to say.
Yeah. Are you 66?
I am this year.
Who would imagine?
I know. Sad, isn't it?
I know. Well, there you are. You must have lots of tales to tell.
No, nothing's ever happened to me, ever. If I start telling tales, Amanda starts tweeting me going, "That's, you're just fibbing, you're making that up."
Well, you are quite old, so you have crammed quite a lot into your life, I suppose.
I did see something earlier about a lady put a tweet out saying, "Oh, isn't it brilliant that because somebody's put a cycle lane in somewhere, my kids can cycle to school?" And I just thought, oh, really? Yeah. But back in my day,
we would have died
the cycle. I had to bloody walk. Yeah, yeah, up a main row. I had to walk up the A20.
Did you? Well, I'm an Essex girl. I had a bike, but I used to walk to school age 5 on my own with a little gang.
Well, yeah, exactly.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know.
I used to walk to the village school, and then when I went to big school, I'd walk there. And
how far was it?
To school.
15 miles?
It's only about 5 miles. It's only about 5 miles.
You did that on your own?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you'd come back. I know when I used to have to go to church, and my parents weren't religion, but I would spend the collection money buying a walnut whip.
Oh, right.
Walnut whip. That's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I was about 6 or 7. I got quite into religion age 8. I don't know why.
It's funny how radically in the space of one lifetime, if you like, things have changed.
Well, my neighbour drives her children to school. I don't know why. Yeah. It's a 10-minute walk.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's just things have changed, haven't they? And when you think about it, it doesn't make a huge amount of sense, because back when we were kids, there weren't mobile phones or anything like that.
No.
You know,
you just went out.
In the summer holidays, you'd go out and your mum would go, "You get back before it gets dark."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that could be
9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and you'd go out for like 14 hours.
Yeah,
and
we used to swim in I had a dog, a German Shepherd. I used to swim in the river with it, take picnics, stay there all day with my mates, all day. Never really were at home. Mm-hmm. Don't think I ever did my homework. Did you, Terry?
No, too busy outside.
Yeah, I used to go home and then go straight to the rec.
Mm.
Did you go to, where were you brought up, Terry?
Between Goudhurst and Horsmonden.
So this area?
Very rural.
I love the way you say Horsmonden. I always say Horsmonden.
No.
You say it properly.
Yeah, well, I was brung up there.
Yeah. But we were out all day. And, of course, these were the years of Enid Blyton and Secret Seven, so everything was about imagination and picnics and robbers and, you know, Harry Roberts. I caught Harry Roberts up a tree. Do you remember him, the escaped? I was sure at the age of 11 I found him up a tree in the local rec.
Well, you would do.
Yeah. And then we all wanted to run away and join the circus, didn't we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nelly the elephant.
Thank you for that.
That's all right.
Just because you've lost loads of weight.
Yeah.
Say that?
I was skinny then. I was. You couldn't see me when I was a kid. I was embarrassed to take my shirt off. I disappeared if I took my shirt off.
I'm just a bit worried that you alluded that I was Nelly the elephant.
No, as if I'd say anything
like that.
It's because
I've got to put my thyroid tablets up. You see, I was on too low a dose.
Yeah, that would be it.
That's why I put on weight. Nothing to do with the daiquiris.
That'll be
lockdown.
It. Yeah, that'll be
and
it.
And olives and cheese.
It's but it's funny how society changes and moves and you know, I mean,
sorry to interrupt, but where I live on the seafront, Terry, I see mums walking along and their kids are sort of age 5, 6 and the kids are trailing behind on their mobile phones, walking by the sea. Yeah. It's quite sad, really. It's quite tragic that, I think. And you see them in restaurants, whole families, and the babies are on iPads or whatever they're called. I don't even know what
tablets.
An iPad is.
Yeah, tablets.
You call it tablet. I just take them, tablets.
But it's just changing.
But it's not good.
Changes to some. Well,
it's not good
know,
to have conversation at the table.
I'm not of the school that everything was brilliant when I was a kid, because it wasn't.
Well, we had the Moors murderers.
Yeah, well, you have all kinds of things. I mean, and you know,
Jimmy Savile.
No, but one of the funny things, my ex-mother-in-law, I remember having a bit of an argument with her about this, you know, because she was going, oh, when I was a girl growing up before the war, we used to leave our doors open and da-da-da.
Yeah, my parents did.
And I go, and then you got robbed.
No, my parents did. Yeah, they always had their doors open.
But there's this rosy glow of the past, as if nothing ever went wrong in the past.
Well, of course,
and it wasn't true.
No, but then look, as my mum says, they had the war, she's 90, but they could hug. She said, we went through all the war, but we could hug. We never had a banana, but we could hug.
Yeah.
And that's what's different about this
epidemic. Now you can have a banana, but you can't hug.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can hug a banana.
You could hug a banana. Yeah. It's whether you think hugging or bananas have more value, really.
Well,
yeah,
banana pancake, quite nice.
Here we go. Have you got anything else to read?
Oh, yeah, I've got loads. Ted Folkestone, the event is Saturday the 27th of February, so this is a diary date. There are early bird tickets currently available. You can go to tedfolkestone.com and you can also design the mascot. It's a competition for 11 to 18-year-olds who want to get off their tablets.
There you go.
See what I did there?
I see.
I added that myself. You put that bit in, didn't you?
Yeah. You're walking along the seafront behind your mum and dad, you know, put your phone away and do this competition.
Design it.
Here's some crayons.
And you can go to tedxfolkestone.com and find out the speakers on there as well.
Right. Go on then.
Well, find out
keep
the speakers.
Going. Keep going. We've got a minute left.
Right. Okay. So we can. I've done this, really. I've done all mine, actually.
Oh, you just said you got loads left.
Yeah, no, I lied.
You fibbed. You only have one.
I put the business diaries in the wrong pile.
Oh, well,
I had them.
Well, I'll tell you what, read it again.
Well, you can listen to the business diaries by going to...
Where can we listen to it?
You can go to www.thebusinessdiaries.podbean.com.
Fantastic. We've reached the end of another show, thankfully. How we managed to do that and stay on air, I've no idea. She was a nightmare this week. I want to say a massive thank you to our guest, Mr. Terry Thorpe of Tenterton Chamber of Commerce. Thank you so much. To Lucy Adams of West Kent Mind, thank you. Thank you to everybody that tweeted and emailed and sent us messages. We do appreciate it. We'll be back with another show next week. Thank you for joining us. Stay safe, everybody. Try and stay on top of what the new rules are if
you can.
Shop
local.
But whatever you do, shop local, shop independent.
Use it or lose it.
Yeah, come and visit us in Tenterton High Street when you're allowed. And
other high streets are available.
They are, but they're not as good.
Terry's High Street is the best, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Come and see us over in the Tenterton area. We'd love to see you. But have a fantastic week, everybody. We'll be back next week with another show. Stay safe. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.